For the people on Zoom, the song is Where Love Is in the Home, number 308. Number 308, Where Love Is in the Home.
Where love is in the home, there's happiness.
So used to having an outline, I get really confused. Brethren, I hope you'll forgive me, but I don't think I can reach any of you from here. And besides that, I've got this in between me and you. So I'm not sure how this is going to come across whenever I open this up and show everybody else what I look like. Start video. Okay. Do we have it recording, Charmin? Yeah, it's gone. Okay, I think everything's go. When I pulled in the parking lot, I had people on the phone wondering why Zoom wasn't up yet. But that's okay. We're going to try to get this in order and try to make it more on time whenever we get where we have to do this each week for a while. But I'd like to ask you, if you would please, to open your Bibles, your Old Testament. Now, I'm going to go to the Old Testament, the 2 Kings. That's 2 Kings, chapter 20 and verse 1. 2 Kings 20 and verse 1. I'm going to read about King Hezekiah. We're told here that in those days, King Hezekiah was sick near death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, went to him and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live." Thus says the Lord, set your house in order. That's pretty stern. But the Lord declared it. That's how it was to be. So he turned his face toward the wall and prayed to the Lord. And he said, "Remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I have walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart, and have done what was good in your sight." And Hezekiah wept bitterly. And it happened before Isaiah had gone out into the middle of the court, that the word of the Lord came to him and said, "Return and tell Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus says the Lord, the God of David, your father, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Surely I will heal you. On the third day, you shall go up to the house of the Lord, and I will add to your days 15 years. I will deliver you to and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for my own sake and for the sake of my servant David." Then Isaiah said, "Take a lump of figs." And so they took and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. And Hezekiah said to Isaiah, "What is the sign that the Lord will heal me, that I should go up to the house of the Lord the third day?" Then Isaiah said, "This is the sign to you from the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing which he has spoken. Shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees or go backward 10 degrees? And Hezekiah answered, "It is an easy thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees. No, but let the shadow go backward 10 degrees. So Isaiah the prophet cried out to the Lord, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backward by which it had gone down on the sundial of Ahaz. You know, when we read this, we think, that's, wow. You're told, get your house in order. This is it. And then the Lord says it's going to give you 15 more years. That seems like a lot of time, especially when you get up to my age. But 15 more years. But what do we hear from Ahaz? "Well, I want to know whether it's really going to happen or not. Whether it's really going to happen." So he has to see the sun go backwards by 10 degrees. But you know, this prophecy, and I think I'm a little behind here. Oh, let's see now. How do I do this one? Is that, yeah, there it is. There it is. Oh, well, you all saw that already. Okay. There you go. The question that comes to mind is, have you made the necessary preparations so that your family and your household will be able to prosper both physically, but more importantly, and most importantly, spiritually, no matter what circumstances may come your way? It's an interesting thought in the midst of all this COVID stuff. We're fortunate. We are fortunate beyond measure that we haven't been touched by it. Every one of us, every family here has been blessed, and we need to be thankful for that. But others haven't been so lucky. Members of the church throughout the United States have died from this. And so it is touching some of the family that we have distantly, but not locally. But what exactly are you doing right now to make sure, there it is, what are you doing right now to make sure that your house prospers to the next generation? I want you to turn with me to, get it here, there it is. Genesis chapter 18 for just a moment. Genesis 18 verse 17. Now, God is talking about Abraham here, and he says, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing? Since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him." Wow. Just imagine the implications of this. I know Abraham, and I know that he will guide his family in the right direction, that they will go on and do what I told him to do. And on they go. That brings something to mind. Are you teaching? There we are. Are you teaching your household, that is your children, how to live by the precepts and the commandments of the Lord? Think about that. How much attention do you give to teaching your children the precepts and commandments of the Lord? And along this same line, are you exhibiting, there it is, are you exhibiting by your priorities and life choices the path your children should follow? You know, we teach a lot. We teach our children a lot. Not by what we say, but by what we do. They look at us and they say, well, I'm going to do like mama, or I'm going to do like daddy does. They aren't too excited about hearing what mama says or what daddy says, but they're going to do what you do. Now, with that in mind, do you set a good example for them? Do you set a good example? And along the same line, how much time do you devote? There it is. How much time are you devoting to your household to teach them the way of the Lord? You know, I always think about Deuteronomy chapter 6 whenever I think about this. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning with verse 4, God has given direction to Israel, and he says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently. Now listen, you shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in the house. You shall talk to them when you walk by the way, talk to them when you lie down, and talk to them when you rise up. Not much time that's left uncovered by that. Not much time. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on your doorposts of your house and on your gates. Now, how much time are you devoting to teaching your children the Word of God? Also in Ephesians 6 and verse 4, I see we're behind here. There it is. Ephesians 6 and verse 4. Paul says, you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath or frustrate your children, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. We have a responsibility to our children to prepare them for tomorrow, because tomorrow they're the ones that are going to be leading. And if they're not prepared, if we aren't doing our job right now, where will the leaders be? Or where will the church be? You must, of course, set your house in order and be set to defend it, because the rulers of the darkness of this world are bombarding the family with continual attacks to destroy God's plan for the family. just look in the media, look on TV, look what they're doing. They are gradually tearing down the home and marriage, and in fact, marriage between a man and a woman. And they're trying to destroy it. But in Ephesians chapter 6, let's see if we can get that down here. There it is. In Ephesians chapter 6, beginning with verse 10 this time, Paul says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For you do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand." Notice now, we have got armor that has to be put on. And he says it is necessary to have this armor to stand against the powers of the devil. Then he says, take up the whole armor of God, not just a piece of it. Take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. That's what it's all about. That's what it is all about. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you'll be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and all supplication for all the saints. Think about this. How many men has the devil? Well, I know it's there. Try this. Well, okay. There it is. How many men has the devil convinced to abandon the leadership role in their home as husbands and as fathers? How many? You don't have to look too far to see the number of women who are raising children without a husband. Why? Because men don't want all that responsibility. And you know who convinced them to do that? The devil did. The devil did. But on the same note, if you will, how many women has the devil convinced to totally abandon their responsibility as the woman of the family, taking care of their children and taking care of their homes? How many? How many? And you know, one that really bothers me is how many parents has the devil convinced to neglect discipline in their children? How many? How many children are going around in this world never having heard the word no? No is a basic concept with children. And I'll say basic concept with dogs too. We found that out with our dog. But it's a basic concept. No. But some children never hear it. They never hear it. And the parents have abandoned their responsibility. I'd like you to turn me, if you would, to Colossians chapter 3. We'll get that up here on the board. Colossians 3. Oh, well, I thought it would. I'll try it again. Colossians 3:17 through verse 21. Now notice this. I did this because this passage of scripture you have in your mind very familiar. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. We sing a song about that. But notice the context. The very next breath. Wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives. Do not be bitter towards them. And listen, children, obey your parents in all things. For this is well-pleasing to the Lord. And fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. The devil's real successful at keeping people from doing what they're supposed to do, isn't he? In 2 Kings chapter 20 again, and that, of course, is our context that we started with, 2 Kings 20, and also parallel of Isaiah 3:38, 1 through 9. When the prophet told Hezekiah that he had to set his house in order because he was going to die and not live, King Hezekiah prayed. He prayed to God and he wept sorely. God heard his prayer and healed him and added 15 years to his life. Want to get that, Sherman? Added 15 years to his life and delivered him and the city from the king of Assyria. Now, remember, as a sign, how do we get switched over here? Somehow I got switched out of my... Okay, just a minute. Well, I can't preach with an outline. Just a minute here. Where is there. Okay, here we go. Technological difficulties. They drive me crazy. Oh. What am I going to do with that? Oh, no. Drag it to the bottom. Okay. Let's do it. Well, at least most of you people have watched Zoom and you know that we have these difficulties sometimes. Now let's get back on track. King Hezekiah, he wept, he asked God, God heard his prayer, and as a sign, of course, God granted to him that the sundial would go back. Is that okay?
You're unmuted.
I'm muted? Okay. Okay. Set your house in order, pray to God, ask him. Okay. God sent a sign, and the sign was that the clock would go back, or the shadow would go back on the sundial and give him respite from his condition. Now, let's see. Why can't we get this to work?
Your emotions are back always in first life.
I did what?
Your remote went back all into the first life.
Okay. Let's see. Okay. Well, we're going to have to just go on to these. Let me see. How can I do this? Get the mouse over here and see why I can't. His mouse anywhere. Okay, I'm not going to fool it anymore.
Stop sharing and start over.
Stop sharing?
And then start over.
Okay. How do I do the stop share from here, though?
Red button on the bottom middle.
Behind you.
Behind me?
Red button on the bottom middle.
Okay, that's easy. That's easy. I can get that. Okay. No.
It's on the top right corner.
No. I can't get anything out of that. Okay. Just a second. Well, I've got meeting controls that won't let me into them. I think what I made was a bad mistake when I drug that, there. Okay. Okay. Now. Okay. Let's see. Oh boy. Do all things. Okay, we've already talked about that, haven't we? Okay, we're on this one. Set his house in order. Hezekiah prayed. God heard it. Okay. Did everybody go to sleep or anything? Okay, good. We're okay. Okay. Now, let me get back over here. Okay. Now, the next part of this lesson, if I can click on it, get it. Come. Let's see. No. That's backwards. Okay. 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 Well, we had kind of a run there. It was kind of exciting for a minute. But I really want to get to this last chart if I can. Let me see if I can just figure a way to power through this. There we go. James 5. Okay. Oh, good. Okay, I'm going to put all this up while I've got my hand. Oh, no, sorry. Got ahead of myself. Okay, that's all right. There we go. We're going to talk about this in a minute. Set your house in order. If you'll look at James 5 for just a moment with me. James 5 says, confess your trespasses one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Set your house in order. You need to do what Hezekiah did. You need to pray to God and ask him to give you the strength to set your house in order. And how better can you set your house in order than by being obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ? Hearing the gospel, as Romans 10 and 17 tells us. So then faith comes by hearing by the word of God, and by believing what you hear. We know, of course, how important believing is in Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. And in you have to repent. Acts 17:30 says all men everywhere, not just a few, but all men have to repent. And then Romans chapter 10 and verse 10 tells us that we must, with the heart, one believes to righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Now, the world pretty much says that's about it. That's about all you need. From there on, you got it made. No, that's not all. Because we read in 1 Peter 3 and verse 21 that we have a responsibility also not only to hear and confess and believe and repent, but also we have a responsibility to be baptized. Be baptized. Look at 1 Peter 3:21. What does it say? There's an antitype which now saves us. Not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. What? In baptism. That's what it says. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Why does it say that? Well, baptism would be ineffectual if it were not for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Period. But that's it. That's all there is to it. No, that's not all there is to it. We also read that we must live a life of righteousness. Live a life of righteousness. Turn to Titus chapter 2. Read verses 11 and 12 with me. Listen carefully. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us, notice what it teaches us, denying godliness, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. That's how we're to live. Not enough just to go through the steps to get the forgiveness of our old sins, but we must live a righteous life. Live a righteous life. That's what God expects of us. I hope that the lesson this morning has been beneficial to you. I hope that you have been in some way helped by it. And I was told I had to preach a short lesson. So that's interesting. I made a note on this lesson whenever I prepared it. Short. But we're hoping that things will improve and we will have more latitude and mostly be able to get more into our worship. Enjoyed so much being with every one of you this morning. I want to wish all of your families well. Pray God's blessings upon you. And I look forward, I really look forward to seeing you come Wednesday night. Whenever I get everybody on the screen at the same time, we get to talk and visit. And most of all, we really get down to studying God's word. Really enjoy it. I'm going to turn it over to Dylan. Are you next on this? Okay. Turn it over to Dylan.
Please turn to 304, why do you wait, dear brother? Number 304, why do you wait, dear brother?
Why do you wait, dear brother? Oh, why do you tarry so long? Your Savior is waiting to give you a place in his sanctified throne. Why not? Why not come to him now? Why not come to him now? Why do you hope, dear brother, to gain by a further delay? There's no one to save you but Jesus. There's no other way but his way. him now. Why not? Why not? Why not come to him now? Why do you wait, dear brother? The harvest is passing away. Your Savior is longing to bless you. There's danger and death in delay.